Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the GVS Full Year 2022 Results Conference Call. As a reminder, all participants are in listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. Should anyone need assistance during the conference call, they may signal an operator by pressing star and zero on their telephone. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Massimo Scagliarini, CEO of GVS. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good afternoon and good morning to everybody, and welcome to the full year 2022 result presentation of the GVS Group. Before to go into the slide, I would like to introduce to you Marco Pacini, our new CFO.
Good morning. Good afternoon.
Guido Bacchelli, our new IR and M&A director.
Good afternoon, everyone.
With this new financial team and the enforced financial team, we are starting a journey in a new way to present the GVS Group number. Today will be the first step in this journey, and I hope you will enjoy our approach. Let's go to the first slide. Quick snapshot on 2022 result. A net growth of 13.6% over the previous year, where if we take away the fact of the disposable mask, goes up to 35%. It's true that if I am taking away the M&A activity and the disposable mask, the organic growth is just a little less than 1%. We will see in the following slide that all the subdivision went very well in term of growth. The only one penalized was the medical area. EBITDA adjusted, 79 million as a result of the full year with a 20.4% of incidence. Pro forma 86 with 20% incidence. The dilution on the marginality in 2022 is due mainly to some adjustment of post-COVID effect and to lack in implementing the new pricing to the market. Again, we will see more in detail later on all this activity. Net financial position on the third quarter was 404 million. A nice recovery in the fourth quarter that bring us to 375 million, where if we add the shareholder loan, we go down to 300 million. That brings us inside any covenant, bank covenant breach. We have adjust also this part. Now moving to the next slide. That is the fourth quarter. I really love this slide because beside the number, it really show the reaction of the group to the quarter. If you look in term of sales, Healthcare and Life Science had a nice growth from 71 to 78. Energy & Mobility division had a little slowdown in the fourth quarter, but this is quite normal in this sector because in December, everyone tend to adjust their supply chain management. Nice growth in the Safety division that goes from 15.7 to 16.9. Again, as I mentioned before, what I like in this slide is the reaction of the group to the third quarter, so a nice growth of 30% in the EBITDA margin. That doesn't bring us to the historical number, but we will see later on what we are doing to bring the group back to this number. Again, 30% growth from 17 to 22 million, with incidence 15.9 to 19.4. Later on, we will see what has generated this improvement. EBIT, I will not comment because it's very linear with the EBITDA, and so it just follow the growth. I will now leave speech to Marco, who will introduce you a more granular vision to the 22 full year and to the fourth quarter. Marco, please.
Thanks, Massimo, for giving me the floor. Let's go to slide number 6. Let's go to the top of the slide number 6. Q4 EBITDA is equal to 22.1 million, 5.1 million above Q3. Sales being the main reason for the EBIT improvement. As a matter of fact, in Q4, sales grow by 7.2 million versus Q3, of which around 6 million volumes and 1.2 million pricing. 6 million higher volumes generate an impact of around 3 million in the EBITDA, CP's operating leverage 3 million, and 1.2 million pricing generate a positive impact of the same amount in results. Whereas 0.9 million is mainly due to year-end provisions fine-tuning. Let's see now the bottom of the slide, net financial position Q3 to Q4 bridge. GVS net financial position at the end of the year is equal to 375.5 million, around 29 better than in Q3, mainly thanks to the effective net working capital management, possibly 23 million variances quarter by quarter, of which around 50% is given by lower stock. Stock is equal to 107 million at the end of the quarter. A positive impact on the net financial position comes obviously from the operating cash flow, 18.7 million. Operating cash flow means reported EBITDA net of all the non-cash items included in the reported EBITDA. And now, let's focus on full year 22 sales, starting from Guido Bacchelli will go through all that. So I go to the next chart.
Thanks, Marco. So in this slide, let's start from the performance already anticipated by Massimo. So there is a growth in terms of total revenues that it would mainly driven by M&A, while on organic side we have just a little bit less than 1% organic growth. Despite this performance, it's interesting to note that from 2019 to 2022, so 2 years, they are not impacted by COVID, so we can do a comparison. There is a sound organic sales growth CAGR of 6.7%. In terms of the contribution of the different division, healthcare and life science confirmed the importance in as a weight in the total revenue of the group with 63% contribution, and is followed by energy and mobility with 20% and health and safety with 70%. In the chart at the bottom of the page, you can see the construction of the organic growth trend. So the 0.8 growth was basically linked to a 6 million positive sales price effect. That is the first batch of price increase that have been implemented in the second half of 2022. Then on the negative side, we had a volume, sales volume effect linked to a loss of a client in the air gas division. And then other approximately 14 million of sales that were related to the closure of take-or-pay contract with air and gas client and labs client. We have isolated this effect because it's directly related to COVID volumes. Finally, we had a positive impact of 16.1 million related to FX in the period. Moving to next slide, we have a focus on the group to the various division of the group. This is interesting because we have isolated the organic component of the growth by division, and you will appreciate that with the notable exception of the Air and Gas division, all the other subdivision reported a sound organic growth. Let's start from the Healthcare. If you focus on the line pattern of the chart, you see immediately the organic growth excluding the impact of the M&A, so the company acquired in full year 2022. And you see that there is a decrease of 5.5% in terms of organic growth. But then deconstructing it, splitting this data between the various subdivisions, you see that the liquid, the Healthcare liquid net of the acquisition is recording some 6.2% growth, organic growth. The last is recording 7.8% growth. And the only division that was impacted again from the COVID effect is still the Air and Gas division. You see this 18 million decrease there, very close to the data that we have seen in the bridge graph chart in the previous slide. If you move to Health and Safety, Health and Safety, of course, is the most impacted in terms of the extraordinary effect, because in 2021, we have the disposable mask, then in 2000 we have the acquisitions, the M&A, and netting all these effects, so focusing again on the organic growth, there is a sound 23.4% of growth. This is in particular linked to the personal safety. And finally, Energy and Mobility, despite the weaker fourth Q, is recording a very sound performance year on year with 9.4% growth, all organic. And now I leave the floor to Marco to comment the profitability.
Okay, so we can go to slide number 9, the chart number 9, which is about full year adjusted EBITDA 2022 versus 2021. 22 adjusted EBITDA is equal to 79 million versus 108 in 2021. As shown at the top left of the slide, we highlighted M&A impact, 4 million in 2021 and 31.8 million in 2022. Let's share what M&A stands for. RPB first. RPB has been part of GVS Group since September 21, thus delivering a 4 million contribution to the overall consolidated EBITDA in 2021, whereas STD became part of GVS in March 2022, and Hemotronic at India. So, in 2021, the M&A area does include only 4 months, whereas in 20 over RTB. Whereas in 2022, M&A does include 12 months of RPB, 10 months STT, and 6.5 months Hemotronic. We reported, see please top right of the chart, pro forma adjusted EBITDA as well. Pro forma means that we included in GVS adjusted EBITDA 12 months contribution of both Hemotronic and STT. Plus RPB, of course. The adjustment already shared with you over the past 2 months from GVS team is equal to 7.3 million. And now let's move to the bottom side of the chart for the variance analysis. 2021 adjusted EBITDA is 108 million. Disposable mass impact is worth 22 million. M&A variance is 35.1, which is the difference between 4 million in 2021 and 31.8 million in 2022, adding on top of that the 7.3 pro forma adjustment. Now, let's see, please, the volume impact of the organic sales net of the FX impact. Two charts before, Guido told us that organic sales went up year over year by around 2 million, 0.8%, including positive 6.1 million FX and positive 6 million pricing. So organic sales were all in all negative by around 20 million, excluding FX and pricing. Let's see now the impact on the EBITDA for those lower 20 million sales by starting from paper sales. In 2021, EBITDA benefited of 9 million paper sales. Paper sales means that the customer has the obligation of either collecting the goods or paying them. The two customers involved pay the goods, 9 million of take or pay. So 9 million year-over-year sales deviation turned into a 9 million euros EBITDA loss. On top of that, GVS suffered in 2022 of a loss of volumes for the decision of a profitable air and gas client to insource GVS production. The impact is 6 million in terms of revenues and 4 million in terms of EBITDA. And lastly, GVS organic EBITDA in 2022 was hit by the loss of COVID-related volumes of a profitable air and gas plasma, 10 million euros revenues and 7 million EBITDA. The just described 20 million negative volume impact, of which 9 million take or pay, plus 11 million air and gas to customers, has been only partially offset by 5 million higher organic sales, driving 3 million euros EBITDA improvement. The summary of the organic sales impact on EBITDA is 20 million lower sales generated 7 million EBITDA decrease, of which 12 million COVID-related, in the blue dot line rectangle, first rectangle from the left. Apart from disposable mass, and the M&A and volumes, another impact we have to take into consideration in order to understand year-over-year EBITDA variance analysis is pricing, both raw material pricing fees and pricing to customers. The overall impact has been negative, around 5 million, especially visible starting from Q3 2022. And finally, to close the variance analysis, let's see, minus 13.13 million others, which include mainly lower fixed cost absorption. This is a legacy of the COVID period, as written on the right side. Among other things, this rectangle includes also the impact, 4 million, of the strengthening of GVS corporate team, in particular sales team. But now, let's move to the next chart. Chart number 10. At the top left, we have the net financial position trend quarter by quarter, starting from year-end 21. Below the bar graph, you can see net financial position 2021 to 2022 bridge. We all know that because of M&A, net financial position deteriorated from around 108 end of 21 to 375.5 end of 2022. Negative deviation of 268, of which M&A is worth 307 million. That's to say, net financial position improved by 39 million, excluding M&A. So, more or less, 50% of GVS adjusted EBITDA has been converted into cash or converted into net financial position improvement, as you wish. In 2022, due to the net financial burden increase, this ratio, cash generated over adjusted EBITDA, should decrease to 40% from 50%. The 39 million euro improvement along the year came mainly from the operating activities. Positive contribution from net working capital as well, VAT, indirect taxes, and trade working capital. And finally, let's say a few words on the shareholder loan, whose amount is of 75 million and allows GVS to respect 2022 year-end covenant, and especially the so-called leverage ratio, which is given by net financial position divided by pro forma EBITDA. On the right, there is a table explaining cost and the remuneration of the shareholder loan for GVS. But now we can move to the next chart, to chart about M&A. So I give the floor to Guido.
Thank you, Marco. So we deem appropriate to go a bit deeper on the two acquisitions that was completed in full year 2022. So let's start from STT, that was on chronological order the first completed. As Marco said, it has been consolidated in our accounts since the beginning of March 2022. So the rationale of the acquisition of STT is clearly linked to reinforce the GDS presence in the Chinese market, and in particular penetrate the Chinese hospital market thanks to this license that was that the Shanghai plan of STT had that allow now GDS to sell directly to the Chinese hospital channel. On top of that, of course, there was our will to reinforce our presence in the blood transfusion segment, in particular in the segment of the bags. There are the products produced by STT that will include also a new product that is in phase of authorization that can be cross-sold to GDS international client base. And then there was also a huge opportunity in terms of streamlining industrial operation. You will see in all of the synergy, given the different production plant located in Suzhou in China. In terms of synergy, we have already mentioned the cross-selling. The main are, first of all, the insourcing of production of components that were bought from third-party supplier by STT and now will be produced thanks to GDS production capacity in the country. And then the streamlined industrial operation project, so it will be one new plant that will be built and will combine two other existing plants plus in the Suzhou area. This is expected. These synergies are expected to contribute a full impact for 4.7 million per year. Interestingly, if we adjust the acquisition multiple we have announced at acquisition for this 4.7 million, we reach a very appealing 6.4 adjusted multiple. Although this synergy will be deployed between a small part already in 2022, it will also explain the good performance then of the BDA on the year, but then the vast majority will be in 2023 and 2024. If we move to the next slide, we have to give a look to Hemotronic. So again, Hemotronic was a very strong strategic rationale for the infusion to enter to reinforce our presence in the blood infusion segment. And again, there are new product technologies that we can bring in our perimeter. And we'll be able now to produce a complete set for blood infusion, thanks also to the components that will be produced by Hemotronic. Another rationale was the increase our presence in the U.S. market, that for us, as you see, you know, in previous slides, with the weight of the different countries remain our main market. And again, there were way, you know, and space to optimize our industrial footprint. Again, moving productions among the various plants of both GDS and Hemotronic. See, so the internalization of production by third-party supplier is the most important synergy we have identified. Again, the relocation of from production across the plant, also to focus low added value production in lower cost country and free space in the, for instance, the Italian plants where we can produce higher margin products. All these synergies that we have identified sum to 4 million at full impact per year. And again, if we adjust the multiple the announced acquisition for this 4 million that are mostly cost synergies, so very, that came with a very low execution risk, the adjusted multiple is below 12 times, 11.7. And now moving
now I start to Massimo to share with you some significant strategic consideration.
Thank you, Marco. So profitability recovery. We split this on the 3 main points that impacted 2022. Cost inflation, low industrial saturation, and integration of the 2022 acquisition. Cost inflation. We have already fully negotiated all the new price and the contract with all the customers. So they are already in place, and we will start to see the fact starting from Q2 2023. So industrial saturation, we have a very complex project. We will see the detail of the next slide, and is basically the full industrial reorganization to bring back a nice industrial saturation. Integration of the 2002 acquisition, they are working. We are working on the commercial side and on the industrial side to extract all the synergy from this acquisition that will be deployed, of course, during 2023 and 2024. Now, go to the next slide. So here we see the industrial organization that where we are already working is already started. Plus one is not mentioned here, but Guido was mentioning before. So the Suzhou integration of the Chinese plant into our new plant that will be ready by September of this year. And we will move the production of FPP in Suzhou into our new plant together with our plant in Suzhou. So say that, staying on Europe and US, we will bring production from Findlay, and we will move this production to Mexico. And this for all the production related to Mexican customers. So this will allow us to improve our profitability because the labor cost is lower in Mexico, but will avoid us to have transport costs from Finland to Mexico. Second step will be to move production from Bloomer to Finland, and again that will give us a more saturation inside Finland and a better profitability of Finlay as an organization. Then we will move part of Bloomer also to Monterrey, again for the Mexican customer. So in this way, we have better profitability for the lower labor cost, and we will avoid all the transportation costs because we will be local and we will be serving local customers. Part of production from Finlay will be moved also to GS Romania for the same concept to serve European customers. That brings more profitability because the lower labor cost and less transportation costs. Apart all the transportation costs, what we are expecting, of course, is a much more lean supply chain organization because that will allow us to dramatically reduce our stock, having everything concentrated near our final customer. So profit due to the better saturation, profit generated by the production moving in a low level cost country, and profit, of course, avoiding a lot of transportation. Another important step is to move into Findlay all the production of all the component production of SPV. SPV today, when we purchased SPV, was buying all the components to assemble the final product from external suppliers around the world. So now we have already started and we are moving all the production of the SPV component into Findlay. Again, that will bring more saturation to Findlay. The profit that now is on this external supplier will be moved in Findlay. And again, we will reduce the transportation cost and we will have a more lean supply chain because from Findlay and SPV there are 2 hour distance. Panasonic Mexico, that is a very important project. We are internalizing in Monterrey all the production of components for Panasonic Mexico Reynosa. And again, this will allow us to bring all the profitability that are in the component today into Monterrey and bring more saturation to Monterrey. Will allow us to reduce the transportation costs because today the suppliers are based one in Europe and one in US when the final customer is Reynosa. So having everything in Monterrey, again, low labor cost, less stock because we are very lean, they guide 1 hour away one from the other, and reduction in transportation cost. Puerto Rico relocation is something that is going on. It's going step by step because we need all the FDA approval and we have already had one and we are waiting the second one. So we are moving together with this certification. And we are moving all the low cost activity from Puerto Rico to Monterrey. Again, that will bring better saturation of Monterrey, better profitability because the labor cost in Monterrey is lower compared with Puerto Rico, and will avoid us to have transportation from Monterrey to Puerto Rico, back to Monterrey, and then to the final customer that is in Mexico. So a nice reduction in transportation cost, and of course, again, a more lean supply chain because we will reduce the stock in all these locations. So this is just a snapshot of all the activity that we will be doing during 2023 and 2024. And that, and this brings us to an outlook of 2023. So marketing is still is still not easy. Market is still very complex for this geopolitical instability, bank pressure on interest rate, etc. Nevertheless, we have based our guidance for 2023 on what depends from us. So on activity that we are able to do and to control. So if we are able to accomplish with our target, then the influence from the external environment will be absolutely minimized. And this brings us to a guidance in the sales with a forecast that goes from 440 million to 460 million. A foregone EBITDA that goes from 95 million to 105 million, and the net financial position that might vary from 340 to 360 million. We are considering on it the 50 million extraordinary capex related to the new plant in China. Now I will leave the speech to Marco to give you some color on this.
Okay. Thanks, Massimo. I can add two comments on the aspect of the EBITDA and the net financial position. As for EBITDA, the average value of the range given by us, that's to say 100 million, which is the average of 95 and 105, can be built starting from Q4 in this way. Q4 EBITDA is 22 million. Yes, if we set aside year-end provisions fine-tuning, the reference EBITDA would be 21 million. Let's then multiply Q4 21 million by four. We have 84 million full year. On top of that, let's consider 20 million price increase year-over-year, 5%, which translates into 14 million price increase versus Q4. We go from 84 million to 98 million. On top of that, we expect, A, negative effect, $2 million for 110 in 2023. At least this is our assumption. It was 105 in 2022 average. B, negative supplier pricing, just $2 million. Prudent assumption, I would say. C, positive $6 million efficiencies coming from M&A synergies and cost efficiencies in Europe. For net financial position, I can add a few things about net financial position. As I said before, the increased interest paid on bank loans will decrease the cash conversion rate, because the cash generated on adjusted EBITDA. This ratio has been 50% in 2022. It will be 40% without the extraordinary CapEx already described related to the new plant in China, the 50 million Massimo telling us before. Starting from 325 net financial position year-end 2022, adding more or less 40% of the adjusted expected EBITDA, and finally adding on top the extraordinary CapEx in China, we go more or less to 350 million, which is the middle of the range between 340 million and 360 million. Now we can go to the last chart, which will be commented by Massimo again.
Just to resume, final takeaway. I believe that we have shown that we are a resilient company. We come from a three very complex year. It's true that we have made mistakes, but we've shown that we have reacted immediately. It's very important that the vision that you have is that our pocket is full of opportunity right now. We have all the industrial organization, we have all the price that are going to the marginality and the profit in positive of the company. It is very important that in the next this year we are very disciplined on debt management, because the vision is to reduce the leverage and bringing back the group to the possibility to restart the M&A activity. That is a key activity for the group. Thank you very much for your participation. Yeah, very important, I was forgetting, we are working on a business plan 2023, 2025, that will be presented in the middle of 2023. That will give you a vision of where we expect to go in the next few year. Again, thank you very much for your participation. I believe now we can move to the Q&A section.
This is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. To remove yourself from the question queue, please press star and two. We kindly ask you to pick up the receiver when asking questions. Anyone who has a question may press star and one at this time. The first question is from Matteo Bonizzoni from Kepler. Please go ahead.
Thank you and good afternoon. I have some question. The first one is as regards the organic growth, which is implied in your 2023 sales guidance. If I understood correct, after the 2% price increase in 2022, because you disclosed a 6 million price impact, so +2%, you expect +5%, in 2023. Is it correct to assume that the organic growth ex Forex in 2023, so price plus volumes, should be in the range of plus 7-8%? This is the first question. The second question is as regards this loss of volumes, which you said in the slide 9 on several customers. So you lost some volumes that generated some undersaturation of your plants. My question is, what about the outlook for 2023 as regards customer retention and potential customer acquisition? And the last question is as regards slide 12. On SCT, SCT generated the 4.5 million EBITDA in 2022. 19% margin. You say that you are aiming for 4.7 million EBITDA impact, if I am correct. So basically, this would mean that SCT EBITDA per year should double, more or less. My question is, what's the margin which is implied in this impact? Because I think that some of that could come from commercial synergies and some of that from efficiency. So my question is, starting from a 19% margin for STT, what is the target margin which you have in mind? Thanks.
Okay, there are three questions. I will start, so Marco speaking. You asked about pricing, so you said correctly, year over year is 5%. Then I said also 5%, it means 20 million euros year over year. But if you take as reference Q4, the increase in pricing is 14 million euros. So you have understood well. The organic growth in 2023 is going to be, I would say, our prudent assumption is flat. If we refer to quantities. So organic growth should include pricing and quantities as well. So in this case, if we take out FX and if we take out pricing, it's more or less stable. Please tell me if I gave you a precise answer or if you want me to add more details on that.
So price is plus 5% and volume flat, is correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Then there is, if you look at revenues, there is also -3, which is related to FX. Okay? Then the second question is for Massimo, I believe, because it was about customer retention and opportunity.
Yes. It's true that 2002 was a little bit troubled. But again, it's because was a residual of the pandemic effect, and so we had these give or take, so specific contract for the medical air, and again we are talking about the HEPA respirator for the COVID. I am excluding this because now we are completely out of any pandemic effect. Our customer portfolio is very solid. Customers stay with us. Again, we have customers that are with the group from the last 30 years. And so I am not expecting any type of disruption from this point of view. And it's true that we lost one customer, and I mentioned this before, it was Dräger Medical in the medical air division, but that is really an exceptional situation. I mean, I never saw something like this in all my career inside the group. So I would say that from the customer retention point of view, I don't see any problem. We had all the discussion on the new pricing, that was absolutely well received. Also because we didn't make any price increase during 2022, so the customer understand the situation, and so it was a very easy implementation. So now we are not expecting any disruption from the customer portfolio point of view.
And then comment the third question regarding STT. you are right, Matteo, the value creation, the incremental EBITDA brought by synergies at level is massive. Of course, this would, of course, generate an extra benefit compared to this 19.2% of 2022, the margin that you see in the slide. So in particular, from 2024 going forward, with this synergy, will be all at full impact, full speed. We would expect an EBITDA margin well above the 20% level.
Thank you.
The next question is from Christian Hinderaker from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for taking the questions. Maybe we can start on the cash flow. Fourth quarter was particularly strong, I think with a 29 million net working capital inflow, of which I think 13 million came from inventory unwind. I just want to understand a little bit what we might expect as we move through 2023 with regard to firstly inventories and secondly working capital more broadly. And then my second question would be around the cost inflation expectations and how we should think about those across inputs such as labor, for instance, and raw materials and anything else that you would draw out. Thank you.
Okay, so you asked about cash flow Q4 22 and the expectation for Q1 2023. Okay, in Q4 the good result was given by both stock reduction around 10 million euros, but also a slight delay in payments. Think of that, GDS is a very, an exceptionally good payer. So the move at the end of the year was very negligible. Of course, this slight postponement will be, will have a negative impact in Q1 2023. So the expectation of the net financial position in 2023, the first quarter, is to have a slight deterioration of the net financial position. As for you asked more in general about the stock, our stock expectation. The assumption we used for building our target is very prudent. We are assuming a networking capital stable. Then, if you ask Martin and or the team, we are much more ambitious than that. So, now learning from the past, we are giving you that the assumption for a stable working capital. Of course, we are working to do much better, but the assumption based on which we our target is stable working capital. And then the second question is about the cost inflation, our expectation.
Again, I guess one few words. Right now, what we are seeing is a declining in price of raw material. So it seems that the peak was a little bit before the end of the year. And now the more basic raw material like polyprop, PE, etc., are already declining. So we are not expecting big change in this market. The truth is that anyway we have put a prudence in our budget of another increase of 2% compared with 2022.
Thank you. Maybe I can just come back with a final one on the demand outlook. You know, we've touched on the outlook for the full year and obviously, you know, the sort of guidance range is well set. But maybe if you could comment now that we're sort of most of the way through Q1 to the end of March, how you're seeing the different end markets develop. In particular, interested in what you're seeing within the automotive space as well as in healthcare. Thank you.
So if I correctly understand, the question is on the trend in the first quarter. The trend is positive. Again, there are seasonality on every subdivision, but I would say that right now we are well in line with our budget.
Yes, may I add a few words on that? Just because we expect a Q1 EBITDA more or less aligned with the Q4. And given that our target of 100 along the year, we expect an improvement quarter by quarter because pricing will be 100 effective starting from Q2, and synergies and cost efficiencies in Europe will be deployed in the second semester. So our budget is not flat quarter by quarter, but you should expect improvement quarter by quarter.
And maybe on the other side, it is important to stress that our price increase has been well received by our customers, so we don't get a pushback. So
I hope we answer you.
Thank you. Yes, very clear.
Thanks.
The next question is from Anna Frontani from Berenberg. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, Massimo, Marco and Guido, and thanks for the very comprehensive presentation. I would have two questions for you. The first one is on the EBITDA of Hemotronic that you show in the slide. Can you elaborate on the decrease in the margin in 2022 versus 2021? Why is that? And the second question I have is I really appreciate the detail on the profitability recovery path. If you can maybe also expand and say, what is the biggest risk that you see that might actually jeopardize that profitability recovery path, if any? Thank you.
I can start on Hemotronic, John. So basically, if you see in the slide 13, first of all, you would appreciate on sales part, there has been a substantial increase on sales by Hemotronic Mexico. This is a more part of the business, so the Hemotronic business, the Italian one is more mature, there's a higher profitability, and the Mexican one that is going into profitability in 2022, but in particular going forward. So as soon as the Mexican part will start producing the right margin, then of course there will be a natural ramp up of this margin in increase. Then of course you probably know very well that 2022 has been a year impacted by energy costs, and Hemotronic Italy was not hedged on that, so there was an extraordinary impact on these EBITDAs, about 3 million extra costs related to energy. So also this shows you what can be, you know, the rebound once the energy price will stabilize.
The second question was about the risk on profitability recovery, if we see this.
Hi Anna, how are you? Again, we have built this 2023 budget in a very prudent way. And we have put in only activity that we can really control, and so with a minimal effect from any external environment. It's true that the geopolitical situation is very complex to be translated. And so we have learned that everything could happen. But if we are good in our industrial activity, and we have been doing until today in the last 30 years in doing this, if we're good in doing this, if we're good in extracting the synergy, I don't see major risk. I would say that if I have to consider a risk, eventually is a delay on certain industrial reorganization. But again, we have been prudent also in the timing for this for this activity. So right now, also because I have reviewed this budget so many times, I don't see specific risk to the achievement of the result.
Perfect, very clear, thank you.
The next question is from Gianluca Pediconi from Momentum Alternative Investments. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. And first off, I would really like to thank you, all of you, because of the granularity and transparency of this presentation. I was really impressed by the M&A profitability recovery roadmap slides that were extremely helpful. I have a couple of questions. The first one is on net debt, and probably Marco already talked about it, but the line was disturbed. I just want to be sure that in the 23 guidance, 340, 360 million euro, it's included both the 15 million euro extraordinary capex and the 41 million euro earnout. So that is the first part of the question. The second one is on a normalized EBITDA conversion, so after the reorganization, if you expect the EBITDA conversion, including the acquisition, to be in line with the historic ratio. And last but not least, that is for Massimo. Massimo, I'm very much surprised when I was studying the shareholder zone and above all the condition. Can you just tell us why these conditions are so favorable for minority shareholders, which at the end of the day are still shareholders? And so that would be appreciated. Thank you.
Okay, Marco speaking. Yes, the answer to the first question is positive. So, and net debt 23 guidance is including the capex, the extraordinary capex. And so that's it. As for the.
It includes also the earnout, the 41 million euro earnout.
Earnout as well.
Okay.
So I was comparing Apple with Apple, of course. And for the second question, it has been the first time that we have introduced this new ratio. You never heard about it before. This ratio has nothing to do with the cash conversion we have shown before. So this conversion, which I made up in way, is the ratio between the cash we are able to generate and adjusted EBITDA. So it's a ratio specific for GDS. And I would say that in 2022, we were able to generate more or less, excluding M&A, 40 million euros cash, or you can say 40 million euros improvement of net financial position. So 40 million net financial position improvement divided by adjusted EBITDA around 80 million, you have 50%. But in 2022, interest loans paid to banks were more or less equal to 60 million euros. In 2023, given that our net financial position deteriorated, and given that the Euribor, unfortunately, is going up and 50% of our loans are variable, interest paid on loans are expected to go from 6 to 16, to 1-6. So, temporarily, so only because in 2023 we have such a big amount of interest to be paid. Only in 2023, this ratio, so cash divided by adjusted EBITDA, will be lower than 50%, and it's going to be around 40%. I hope I was clear. So it was quite complete.
Yes, but my question was, I actually do not care about 23 because it's an extraordinary year, a kind of transitional year. I was looking a little bit longer term. So once you have integrated all the acquisition, so let's say 25, the EBITDA conversion of GVS will be in line with what we were used to have in the past, or there will be, because of the acquisition, or maybe I have a lower conversion can be different. My question was a little bit more mid-term, considering the acquisition, if they are dilutive on the EBITDA conversion or not.
Understood. This is a very good question, but you will have a formal answer in mid-year when we are sharing with all of you the strategic plan. But yes, as a preliminary answer, we can tell you that there is no reason why we shouldn't go back to our normal standard profitability and also ability of generating cash.
Okay, very clear. And Massimo, last question is for you. Why this condition so favorable for us minorities?
Well, let me say that one of my vision about EVS is to bring the best from a managerial company and to bring the best from a family company. So what that means that I really like to preserve the ethic of a family company. In a family company, if we have a problem like the one that we had, the family it will enter and correct the problem with their own money. And this is exactly the philosophy that I adopted for the shareholder loan. I truly believe that we need to preserve this ethics and also because show the big difference between a family company that is a public today, of course, and a more managerial company. Okay, maybe I am old school or might have some financial ingenuity, but I really like to sleep well at night and do the right things at the right moment. I hope I answer your question.
Oh yes, very thank you, and I do really appreciate it. Thank you very much.
The next question is from Alessandro Tortora from Mediobanca. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi. Good evening to everybody. I have four questions, okay, if I may. The first one is on the cost and capex, let's say, associated to the synergies and the special project you mentioned in this presentation. I read about the new plant in China, so just understand let's say the cost and capex associated to this program. I don't know if you want to go one by one. Tell me. Okay, I go with the second one.
Go ahead.
Massimo, tell me.
Yeah, go ahead with the next one. We take note and then.
Okay. Sure. Okay, thanks. The second question is on RPB. Clearly, I think that there is also a topic related to the commercial synergies behind the RPB development. So if you can also give us an idea on what's going on for this asset, but also it's the profitability that RPB achieved last year. The third question is on Emotronic. It's a follow-up. Can you tell us exactly what happened on the top line side with this jump in turnover, plus 30% increase, if you believe that this is sustainable or there are some, let's say, one-off factors we need to think and to factor in for 2023? And the last question is on the synergies of the special project you identified. First of all, is on 2023, if you see any minor impact already by these initiatives, or if you need to think about, let's say, maybe, as you mentioned before, this roadmap to 2025 in order to see the full impact of this initiative. Thanks.
So, four questions. The first question was for you, Massimo. It was about CapEx in China.
Yeah. The CapEx in China are mainly related to the new plant that will be finished between July and September. Let's say the expectation is the end of the plant by June and then start moving all the machinery into the new plant. So
that will be the main capex, extraordinary capex expense. If I am correct, you were asking also if we had capex related to the reorganization of the spatial project. In reality, again, there is some expense related to all this activity because moving machine around is not for free, but it's not, apart that we have already made some accrual for this in our budget, but we are not expecting huge capex in relation to this activity. Do I fully answer to your question?
Yes, thanks.
The second question is about RTB profitability, if I remember well. And we can confirm that RTB profitability is higher than the average for the group. So we are well above 30%, 30%. And the third question was about Hemotronic jump sales in 2022.
Mainly is the Mexican project that is start to ramp up. If you recall, the acquisition of Hemotronic was strategically important because we acquire new technology and possibility to have a cross-selling activity from the Italian plant, and we can penetrate a new business related to the IV bag and to blood bag and related and pharmaceutical bag. But in reality, another very important and strategical part of this acquisition was related to the Mexican project, where a customer had to bring all his production into Reynosa. And this is started to happen in 2022, and we'll have the full expansion in 2023. Of course, in 2022, we are still not with full profitability, and this because we acquired the production, but we still didn't have the manufacturing of all the components. This is the transfer of all the machinery to produce the component into Monterrey is happening now, and will go on for all 2023. And if I can add another important topic that is related to the working capital, due to this project, we were obliged to build a huge stock of different million euro to protect the customer during the transfer of the machinery and the tool. We are now absorbing this stock, so I am expecting a positive impact also on the working capital when we will be fully deployed in production in Monterrey, supplying Reynolds. Okay.
The last question was about the synergies impact in 2022. So, any M&A questions?
Thanks, Mark. Hi, Alessandro. So, basically, Marco before mentioned this 6 million as contribution of both the special project and the synergies from M&A. So, you can think about 4 million to come from the special project and the other two from the synergy, because as mentioned before, the synergy would then the acquisition would then have the full ramp up in 2024. Now there will be the year where the big synergy will be in enter into full speed. In that year 2024, we can have almost 9 million of combined impact of both synergy and special project.
Okay, thanks.
The next question is from Domenico Ghilotti from Equita. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. First of all, I join congratulations for the very detailed presentation, very helpful. And I start from a very basic, so if you can just go through once again on the EBITDA bridge that you expect for 2023 and try to explain what is the difference between the lower and the upper parts, or what are the elements that can drive, let's say, the EBITDA from the low toward the upper part. The second question is on the volumes. So you mentioned that you are assuming flat volumes. That's quite different compared to the message that you gave on the three-year horizon, where organic was much more in the mid to high single digit. And so I'm trying to understand, is just a prudent approach, or there are some divisions that require at the moment to be more conservative on the volume side, also in the short term. And the last question is on the price. I'm trying to understand if there is any, if there is a drop, significant drop in cost, is there any risk of having some price revision, so you have to give back some of the price adjustment that have been agreed, or just say given and that's it?
So three questions. The first was about the EBITDA 23 versus 22. Domenico, I gave some comments before, starting from Q4. I prefer to start from Q4 because in Q4 we have the full perimeter, as it is going to be in 2023. So if we take the average of 22, we get confusing with different perimeter. So in Q4, EBITDA is 2022, you saw a few minutes ago. But I said also that around 0.9 million euros is affected by year-end provisions, adjustment, provisions, fine-tuning, let's say. So I said the reference, the adjusted EBITDA reference in Q4 would be 21 million. So if nothing happens, so no pricing, no FX impact, no volume impact, not at all, we should have an adjusted EBITDA 21 times 4, 84 million euros. But we know that we have already negotiated and 90% finalized pricing. And pricing, based on the negotiation we have already closed, pricing will be, the impact of the new pricing will be, compared to Q4, 14 million euros, 1-4. So, we start from Q4. We are pricing, we go to 98, so very close to the 100, which is the average of our guidance. Then, on top of that, there are other things we have to take into consideration. For example, cost, synergy cost, efficiencies. Guido was talking about that a minute ago. He said he repeated the 60 million euros. So in the end, just Q4 times 4, so Q4 multiplied by 4, plus pricing and plus the efficiencies, which will be delivered mostly in the second half of the year, we go to 104 million, 104 million euros. Then we have the improvement to consider, taking into consideration, 2 million euros inflation of raw materials. So we are not thinking of a cost drop, so a slight increase. And then I said that it's also a small, very small impact of effect, because let's consider that we sell, it is true that we sell all around in Europe, but where we sell, we also produce our product. So the effect impact is on the adjusted EBITDA is very short. So if the effect impact is a 3% on year-over-year on the net revenues, is always 3% on the adjusted EBITDA. So if the target is 100 euros, the effect impact is around 50 million euros. So all in all, just considering these things I have just mentioned, more or less has rebuilt the 100 million target.
Okay, very clear.
The next question
was about the cost drop, but I've already answered it.
Yeah, on the volumes.
On the volume. Yeah, and I think I go back to the Anna question. What do you think it can be risky for achieving the budget of 2023? Again, we have analyzed our budget under all the possible point of view with all the possible situation. And one of the point that it's not under our full control, of course, are sales. And so that's the reason why we have been extremely prudent on sales, and we have preferred to work on what is under our control. So that's the reason why the organic have been forecasted flat, just to make a solid budget for next year.
But on the divisional level, you don't see or any specific element that should drive some particular attention on or caution on volumes for this year. So no specific elements that should say, okay, maybe if you take it.
Not at the moment. We have seen the budget with all the sales team area by area geographically, and then we have been prudent on what they tell us. So no, we are not expecting. For what we can see now, on the first quarter, no, we are not expecting any in the sales.
Okay, and maybe just last clarification. When you refer to synergies from STT and Emotronic in the slide, so the 4.7 million and 4 million improvement in EBITDA that you expect medium term, this is so these are not the full benefits. So on top of this, we should have the reorganization project on the industrial footprint in North America. So on top of that, you should have also the cost synergies. So it's not the full.
Yeah, I think there is only one overlap, no? That is what we call the pressure project, the external supplier ACAC Mexico. This is part of the Emotronic synergies. Okay, this is part. Otherwise, all the other projects are on top, talking about separate projects with separate effects.
Yeah. Okay, clear. Thank you.
The next question is from Isacco Brambilla from Mediobanca. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening, everybody. Three questions from my side. The first one is on one-off costs, which were a bit above your historical average this year. What should we expect for 2023? Maybe some, again, some reorganization costs related to the special projects you announced. The second question is actually more a confirmation. Did I understand correctly that financial charges expected for this year are 16 million euros, 1.6? And the third question is again on the net financial position bridge. Could you provide us some sort of guidance on CapEx excluding the Chinese say a special project, so 15 million extraordinary capex, which kind of capex are you assuming for the rest of your business, and which kind of assumption are you making on net working capital for the full year, backing your net financial position guidance? Thanks.
Okay, so three questions. The first was about one-off cost in 23. So our expectation is to go back, I'm referring to EBITDA level, and I'm expecting to go back to 2021 level. So just, I would say 3 million, not about M&A, because we are not assuming M&A in our budget. There are millions about incentive costs for layoff and so on. But I would say that nothing comparable to 2022 adjustment. So we should go back to the 3 million. This was the first question. The second question was about financial charges. In 2023, financial charges. Financial charges is made of interest paid to the banks. So given the current level of Euribor, it's going to be something between 15 and 17 million euros. Then it depends on the Euribor. So today I would say exactly below 17. Then you should add on top earnout, because Hemotronic and STT earnout, which will be paid hopefully next year, they generate interest. You know that, just to give you an example, you know probably that Hemotronic earnout is 38 million euros, but in our balance sheet and then our net financial position, you will not find 38 million euros because we have to discount this amount, and they generate more or less 2 million euros per year. So, financial charges you should add around 17 million euros bank loans, you add the earnout, and you go to something called 20 million euros. As is for financial charges, the last question was CapEx. Okay, our net financial position in 2023 is affected by this extraordinary CapEx. As for the rest, we are assuming our level, which is our standard level of something more than 20 million per year. Our physiological level.
Thanks, Marco.
Thank you.
Sorry, if I may, again, on working capital, on top of Anderson CapEx is 20 million euros, and then which kind of free cash flow generation or absorption are you assuming from net working capital in the whole 2023?
Now we are assuming flat. But we are, okay, so in the target we gave you, we are seeing a flat working capital.
Okay.
Mr. Scagliarini, there are no more questions registered at this time.
Excellent. Thank you to everybody for the participation, and see you at the next ALF presentation.